Good evening. I'll ask you to go ahead and open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. The song that we just sang, completely unrelated to the lesson tonight, the song that we just sang, Living by Faith, it's a song that I'm not sure I will ever again be able to sing without getting emotional. I was in Barbados the first Sunday that we were there. We were under a tropical storm watch, and the first song that was led that morning was Living by Faith. If you read the words to that song again and think about the situations that some people find themselves in, that is a song that stirs a lot of emotion in me in ways that it never had before. And I think it is a song that has really changed the way I think about the life that God has given me and the faith that I put in Him. And to truly live by faith, there is no better life to live than one that has lived in faith in Christ. 2 Kings chapter 6, I want to read with you a few verses here from the story of the prophet Elisha. We're going to pick up in verse number 8 in just a moment. Elisha was, of course, the prophet who served as somewhat of a mentee under Elijah, who then passed the torch on to Elisha to carry on the work as God's messenger. And we're going to get a brief glimpse this evening of just one story in the life of that prophet Elisha, and in particular, the servant that was with him at this time. Begin with me in verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" I want to stop there for just a brief moment before we conclude this story and get the answer to this servant's question. I want you to try and put yourself in the shoes of this man for just a moment. He's most likely a young man, a servant of the prophet Elisha, going about helping him and assisting him as he serves as the spokesperson for God to the nation of Israel. And they have gone to the small city of Dothan, and he wakes up in the morning ready to begin a new day, and he walks out the front door, and what does he see? An entire army that is there for him. They have surrounded the city, we're told, with horses and chariots, there to get him and his master. And the question that he asks is the question that I think anyone here would have asked: what are we going to do? Just try and put yourself in that situation for just a moment, because it makes what happens next, I think, even more amazing. Verse number 16, so he answered, that's Elisha answering, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You can continue on to conclude that story, and you'll see how Elisha literally hand-delivered these now blind and helpless Syrian warriors into the hand of the king of Israel. What happened here for this young servant is one of the most awe-inspiring stories that you'll come across as you read through Scripture. Jeremy used the idea this morning of being a fly on a wall in certain situations. This is one of those stories that as you read this story, man, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen what this guy saw when the Lord opened his eyes. To think about the emotional swing that must have taken place in this young man's life. When he wakes up in the morning, he goes outside full of energy and ready to begin the day, and then literally staring him in the face is one of the most powerful armies in the region. He sees probably certain imprisonment, if not death, in front of him. And then just moments later, he witnesses firsthand the full and awesome power of the Lord surrounding him. What an amazing experience that must have been for that man. And this is a passage of Scripture that I'm sure has spawned hundreds of sermons over the years, and I'm sure many more will come after this one. And there are so many points of application that we could make from this idea. But as I was studying through this and reading through this story this week, there was one thing in particular that kept coming back to me as I read this story over and over again. And that is the idea of someone's eyes being opened to the power of God. And we will most likely never see anything like what this servant saw. But I know from personal experience in my own life, there have been times where I have found myself blind to the power of God. There have been times where intellectually, I know God's there. There's no doubt in my mind that He's more than able to step in and help me during times of weakness. I know that, and I would say that to someone if they asked. But man, I've been blind at times. I've been blind to the power of God that surrounds me in a variety of different ways. And like this servant, I need my eyes opened. I need God to manifest His power to me. I need to be reminded of the greatness of the God that I serve. When I think about this story and the way in which God chose to manifest His power in this moment, I kept coming to two areas in my life where at different points, one of which even happened very recently, that my eyes were opened a little bit more to the power of God and what He's capable of doing. The first of which is very simple, and it's one that I think most of you would probably come to quite quickly as well, and that is simply the gospel. There is probably a pretty clear and easy argument to make that most of the denominational world could be guilty of being blind to the true power of the gospel. The world as a whole needs their eyes opened to the power of God's Word. When we think about the idea of holding this Bible in our hands, even as seasoned Christians, perhaps, people who have studied God's Word time and time again, there are going to be times where we look at this book in the same way that we look at any other book. That we see words on a page instead of the mind of Christ. Where we see titles and we see names and we see stories instead of the mystery of God revealed. The change that perhaps has taken place in your life, or the change that you have seen taking place in other people's lives, it doesn't come from something that you said or a preacher said or someone else said in a Bible class. It comes because the Lord manifested His power through the gospel, and it changes lives. I need my eyes open to that sometimes. When I see helpless situations, Lord, open my eyes to what the gospel can do for them. When I'm struggling with anxiety or worry, God, open my eyes to what the gospel can do in my life. If you're dealing with sin, perhaps it's something very particular that you've dealt with time and time again. Lord, open our eyes to the power found in the gospel to overcome sin. Far too often we find ourselves blind to the power of the gospel. We look in the early parts of Acts at the beginning of the church as the gospel begins to spread. When you look in Acts chapter 2 after Peter's sermon and the thousands of people that come to Christ, that is the power of God being manifest through the gospel. Their eyes were opened. In Acts chapter 4, as the Christians are persecuted, what happens? The church grows. In Acts chapter 8, as that persecution grows and the Christians are scattered, what happens? The church grows more. In Acts chapter 10, as the gospel is taken to the Gentiles, and then we can continue on, as the gospel spreads throughout the known world, this is the power of God being manifest to mankind through His Word. Lord, open my eyes to the potential of the gospel. And shame on me for ever underestimating its power. This world is in a terrible, terrible situation. But lives can be changed because of the power found in the gospel. Lord, open our eyes to that. Open my eyes to the responsibility that I've been given to take that gospel and share it with others. Lord, open my eyes to the potential that it can have to change someone's life, regardless of what they've done or the situation that they may find themselves in. And Lord, I pray that others' eyes will be open to those same facts. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 19, or the 19th Psalm, I should say. Psalm 19. When we look through some of the Psalms, we're going to look at just a couple examples of those this evening. We see examples throughout of what the Word of God means to someone. And the first one, you'll recognize these words. It's a song that we sing here fairly regularly in Psalm 19, beginning in verse number 7. But I want you to think about as we read through this, the idea that this is a man, this man David writing this is a man whose eyes are open to the words of God and what they mean in his life. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. What a beautiful picture of what the words of God meant to David. They were so precious to him, so important to him, because his eyes were opened to what they had done in his life. Turn just a few pages over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I want to read verse 17, and then I want to skip down to verse number 97. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from evil, from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The words of God mean everything. The power of God's words will forever change the way that we look at our enemies, those who oppose us and oppose God. The power of God's words will forever change the way we look at wisdom and knowledge. Because God has opened our eyes through His word. They will forever change the way that we look at death. They'll forever change the way that we look at life. But our eyes have to be open to it. I would encourage each of us, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, regardless of how well you know your Bible, spend time asking God to open your eyes to the power of the gospel. Open your eyes to what it can do in your life, and open your eyes to what it can do in others' lives. The second thing that kept coming to my mind as I was studying through this, it's the way in which God manifests His power in the resurrection. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a passage of scripture that's most likely somewhat familiar to you in regards to the end of the world and the judgment that is to come. But I want you to listen to the idea of the resurrection and the power of God on display through it, beginning in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When we think about the idea of death, from a human perspective, we think about that in a very final way. It is the end. But when our eyes are opened to the power that God manifests through His power over death, we see the great, great eternity that lies just on the other side of death. We see the opportunity to be raised again, to live eternally with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where there are no more tears, where there's no more sadness, where there's no more pain. Lord, open my eyes to that on a daily basis. Because far too often I get way too comfortable here. Far too often I feel way too much at home here. And in those moments, during those times, I need the Lord to open my eyes to the power of the resurrection. Open my eyes to the home that He has prepared for me in heaven. Remind me of the fact that through Christ and His sacrifice, death has been defeated and I have nothing to fear. Open my eyes to that, Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we were at the juvenile detention center. And what we were talking about had absolutely nothing to do with this topic. But towards the end, if time permits, we try and give the kids a chance to ask some questions if they would like. And one of the kids raised his hand and asked us what we believed about the resurrection. And I had to kind of clarify what he meant by that question. And he did, and we discussed that for just a couple of minutes. But during that very brief discussion, another kid that was sitting about halfway across the room raised his hand. And it has been a very long time since I had seen a terrified look on someone's face, but I saw a terrified look on this kid's face. Terrified. In his 16 years of life, he had never been presented with the idea that the world would end one day. He had heard of heaven and hell, but he had no idea what it was or what we were talking about. He had never heard the idea of a judgment day. He had never heard the concept that Jesus would come back to earth one day and that the dead in Christ would rise. Completely foreign concept to him. And in a 5-minute discussion off to the side with another kid about the resurrection, he began to hear some of those things, and it scared him to death. Just like it should have. Because when our eyes are opened to the fact that each of us will stand before God in judgment, you look at your life and you realize that God isn't a part of your life, it better terrify you. Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see this before it's everlastingly too late. Help us to recognize the truth of the resurrection, the truth of the judgment that is to come. Help us to take seriously the fact that our lives will be laid bare before our Creator one day. and to take seriously our preparation for that day, this side of eternity. There's a saying that you've heard, it's been in songs over the years, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. There is going to come a day where you can't stay here anymore. Now, God isn't going to make you come home with Him if you don't want to. But the truth of the matter is, you can't stay here. This world is temporary. This body is temporary. Life is a fragile thing. And it's going to be gone one day. Whether it's through death or through the coming of Christ, there's going to come a time where we can't stay here anymore. And as I mentioned earlier, with that thought in mind, it is crucial that we don't get too comfortable here. We're just renting here. We're just passing through. Our lease is going to be up one day and we're going to have to leave. I hope that all of us will have our eyes open to that fact, to be ready for that day, to be excited about that day, and to look forward to it with great anticipation as a day in which we do get to go home forever. If you're here this evening and you've never put on Christ in baptism, I pray that your eyes will be opened. I pray that you'll see the need to put off the old man or woman of sin, to take advantage of the grace that's extended to each of us, to have our sins forgiven, so that we can all stand before our Creator righteous and holy one day. If you've done that in the past, but maybe you're in one of those moments where intellectually you'd say the right things, but if truth be told, you're just as blind as Elisha's servant was, I pray that you'll open your eyes and recognize that there is nothing here on this earth that should keep you from your relationship with God. If we can help you, if we can assist you, pray for you, be there to help you through these difficult times, we want to ask you and encourage you to reach out. Make that known. Whatever you need to do to walk out of here with your eyes open, knowing that your relationship with God is what it is always intended to be, we want to invite you and encourage you to make that known as we stand and sing this evening.